کنیم.
این امریکا بین رینزای زن و سوتا زن There must be some clear understanding of the two or relationship of the two. Dogen Zenji's problem of or koan was if we have Buddha nature, why we should practice zazen? And that was his, that is why he went to China. Or in all the scriptures, say that everyone has Buddha nature. If so, why we should practice zazen? And Soto more put emphasis on the statement that we have Buddha nature, and Rinzai put emphasis on a practice to attain enlightenment. No, if we have Buddha nature, like Soto student says, why is it necessary to attain enlightenment? And usually, people understand that we have Buddha nature means that potentially we have Buddha nature. Now we have Buddha nature within ourselves. That nature, Buddha nature, is covered by many things, many evil desires. Because of the bad karma, we cannot reveal, we cannot realize Buddha nature. But if we practice zazen, or if we get rid of evil nature, the Buddha nature, which is innate nature, will reveal itself. Usually people understand in that way. But as the sixth patriarch said, that is anarchism. But anyway, people understand in that way. To explain why we must practice zazen, but this understanding is not true understanding, even according to usual understanding of sutra. There are many, you know, we try to understand Buddhism just our ordinary way of thinking, ordinary ways. That is maybe why we cannot understand what why Dogen has to go to China to understand that point. If he understands in that way, you know, it is for him, it was not. There was no need for him to go to China. You know, if by practice, by our practice, by stopping all sort of evil desires, and we will attain enlightenment, and we will have no trouble, you know, and our Buddha nature reveals itself because there is no evil desires which covers our innate nature. If he understands in that way, there was no need for him to go to China. But that was not, you know, that kind of understanding is just, you know, usual understanding, which you can accept it intellectually, but you cannot accept it emotionally in its true sense. You know, your mind says, you think, you know, you can explain why we should understand, we should practice Zazen intellectually. But actually, if you try to attain enlightenment in that way, you will be discouraged, you know, because it is not possible to annihilate all evil desires you have. One student out of 1,000, you know, cannot attain enlightenment in that way. So, naturally, Dogen Zenji, you know, couldn't satisfy that kind of answer. So he actually went to China. Not because of study of philosophy of Buddhism. He wanted to have complete. He wanted to accept Buddhism as his own teaching. He was a very sincere person. He couldn't satisfy. He couldn't be satisfied with the usual, you know, intellectual, philosophical understanding of Buddhism. Although he was the eminent philosopher, he was, he is actually very profound, established very profound philosophy. Buddhist philosophy. But even so, he couldn't satisfy with his philosophy of philosophy, Buddhist philosophy, and he went to China. And after he received transmission from Nyojo Zenji, he, you know, described this point from various points. So he is the one who, you know, understood what is enlightenment and what is real practice. What do we mean by what does the sixth patriarch or old Zen masters mean by practice and by enlightenment? This is the point he, Dogen Zenji, strived for to explain. And he thought people of his age, of his time, will not understand this point fully. And he brought his understanding for his descendant, who may understand his point. This morning I want to briefly, you know, explain this point. Enlightenment and practice, you know. What is enlightenment and what is practice? The enlightenment, according to Dogen Zenji, enlightenment equal practice. We use, you know, soku. Soku means, you know, equal, but not just equal. When you say equal, you know, Although two sides of the equal, you know. Although they look like different, but if you change, you know, form, two things is equal, as you know. As you solve the problem of algebra, you know, if you change the form, both sides is equal. But when we say equal, without changing anything, that is equal. If, you know, practice and enlightenment is same, if, you know, if you attain enlightenment, that is equal. Practice and enlightenment is are equal, same. But when we say soku, equal, it means that without changing, without changing form, it is equal. They are same. This is rather difficult to understand. Practice equal enlightenment. It means that the other side of, you know, practice is enlightenment, and the other side of the enlightenment is practice. He understood in that way. So there's no need to change the practice into enlightenment. Or there's no need to change enlightenment into practice. Without changing practice and enlightenment are same. That is his understanding of our practice. Now, as I said last time, in Jin Zazen, they put emphasis on Kensho. To put emphasis on Kensho means actually to put emphasis on our practice. To encourage our practice, they put emphasis on Kensho. But actually, Kensho is not the actual goal of practice. Practice itself is important. Kensho is just candy. You strive for candy. And you make good practice. That is why Rinzai put emphasis on Kensho. Soto put emphasis on practice. You know, forgetting all about our practice is shikantaza, as you know. We, you know, forget all about Kensho and fully devote ourselves to practice. So actually, both Rinzai and Soto put emphasis in actual practice. And if you talk about, you know, Kensho in Rinzai school says, small enlightenment, numberless small enlightenment, and several big enlightenment. What does it mean? Small, you know, numberless enlightenment, and big, several enlightenment. If, you know, enlightenment is a goal of practice, one enlightenment will be enough. Why do they want so many numbers, numerous enlightenment, and several big ones? You know, it is, you know, it is just words, just means of encouraging people to follow Buddha's way, to continue our practice. Forever, from beginningless beginning to endless end, we should follow Buddha's way, because Buddha's way is the true way. And for Buddhists, there is no time to stop our effort to save people and subjectively to save ourselves. That is why we decide, you know, we have four vow. I think it is necessary both for Rinzai and Soto to have this kind of clear understanding of our practice of our Buddhism. Forgetting all about the fundamental teaching of Buddha, just to put emphasis on Rinzai or Soto means nothing. As you know, in all religions, the most important point is to have conviction, to follow the truth, That is, in other words, faith. Or to believe in, or to trust in the truth. Whatever happened to us, that is our basic attitude of basic attitude for our human life. So, for Rinzai, or Soto, for Rinzai, because, you know, Rinzai people, because we are not sincere enough, you know, they put emphasis on Kensho. But Soto put emphasis in attitude or belief. So naturally, Soto is more rigid. In our practice, or more formal, you know. If you, you know, if you do have strong conviction to follow the truth, means try to have strong faith. In our Buddha nature, and to have determination, try to follow the truth, or try to help people. So naturally, instead of putting emphasis on Kensho, we thought students should follow rules of monastery or rules of our life. So for Soto students, it is necessary for you to organize your life so that you can practice Zazen well. For Rinzai students, it is necessary to realize, to reach the point where you don't mind your everyday problem so much. So that you can easily follow the Buddha's way. That is more Rinzai way. A sort of way, nowadays we have, you know, many Soto followers in Japan, and many priests. But originally, Dogen Zenji tried to have just several sincere students, we say one by one, or half by half. He said, one or half by one or half. Half by half. Half is enough if he is sincere. So, you know, the relationship between teacher and student should be very close. We say, if one is someone's disciple, one should, make calligraphy exactly the same as his teacher. You know, you sign, you know, in America, you have signature by your handwriting is your signature. But it doesn't work in Japan. We put emphasis, we practice calligraphy so hard that one can imitate someone's calligraphy exactly the same as your friend does or your teacher's does. That much, you know, close relationship is necessary. But not by imitation, but from bottom of your heart. So how you learn Oriental Japanese or Oriental culture is to imitate, you know, his teacher's way. And when you are able to, you know, imitate his way, like his own calligraphy or way, you can, you know, establish your own way after you are able to imitate his teacher's way. And after you acquired fully his teacher's way, then, if necessary, you know, you should create your own form of calligraphy. But not before. You can fully imitate his way exactly the same. My teacher is not, you know, my father. Was not my father. But people said, when I laugh, you know, you must be, you know, your teacher's, you know, secret boy. Because the way you do something, where you laugh, where you speak, and where you make your voice, exactly the same as your teacher. So your teacher must be your father, as they said. Everyone of them, but some people said. That is a more sort of way. But the point is, to give up selfish, you know, way as much as possible. Not completely, because it is not possible to give up our selfish idea. And we know that that is impossible. We continue our practice forever. But you may say, if it is not complete, if it is not possible to complete it, it does not mean to try to, you know, try to annihilate evil desires. But it is not so. That is not Buddhist understanding, Buddhist effort. Even though it is not possible, if it is right, we should follow the way. It is not a matter of possible or impossible. Even though it is impossible, if it is right, or if we want to do it, we should do it. We should try to, at least we should try to do it. Maybe both Rinzai way and Soto way is necessary, I think. If, you know, I want you to be completely Soto students or Soto disciples, I will not allow you to have long hair. I wouldn't. At first, even, you know, that much, you know, confidence is necessary if you want to follow a Buddhist way. From the starting point, that is more sort of way. Even though you don't like it, you should do it. Do you understand? That is sort of way. In that way, practice doesn't practice hard. Until you have kensho, whether you have long hair or dirty shoes, it doesn't matter. Practice doesn't hurt. That is more Rinzai way. If he attain enlightenment, he will not matter whether his hair is long or not. Whatever costume, in whatever costume he is, he doesn't matter. But Soto way is, why don't you shave your hair if you are Soto student? That is different. So whether you like it or not, we will force you to we will put you in square box. Instead of, you know, putting emphasis on enlightenment or kensho, same thing, you know. So in this way, there's more freedom maybe. In sort of way, we don't have freedom until you have complete freedom. Until you feel freedom in your everyday life. In its true sense, giving up self-centered activities. So we should not, we shouldn't be too much attached to Rinzai or idea of Rinzai or Soto. But we should know that. We should know the point. I think this is, in this sense, when we understand this point, I'm very much grateful for Dogen Zenji, who was sincere enough to find out this point clearly. And according to him, there is no Soto or Rinzai, or no Zen even. We are all Buddha's disciple. That is enough, he said. He was a person who sincerely devoted Buddhism and wanted to be a good Buddha's disciple. A fame or a rank was not his point. Or how many students he has, that was not his point. To be a good disciple, even, no one knows where he is, who he is. That is not his point. And he wanted to be a good disciple. But he wanted to help their disciple. And he doesn't mind how much, student he has. If he has one good disciple, that was enough for him. Or even though he has no disciple, maybe that was, he will not regret for that, because he wrote so many things for his descendant who may understand his way. Usually even a priest are very much attached to his achievement in its worldly sense. because of him, I think, we came to this kind of understanding of Zen. We say, you know, last year at Asahara, Peter asked me to speak about non-sectarianism. And after I gave lecture, he said, "That is sectarianism." Maybe our sectarianism is non-sectarianism, sectarianism of non-sectarianism. And he said also, people may say, you know, Zen. But patriarchs said, call themselves Zen master. Even though people say Zen, there's no need to be or to call ourselves Zen. We are not Zen Buddhist. We are just Buddha's disciples. To understand Buddhism in that way, or to understand Zen in that way, it's sectarianism. We are very sectarian. But it is not so, actually. At least we have sincere enough or honest enough to accept his teaching. Giving up our selfish viewpoint or criticism.